Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome on into another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with another episode of Phillies 24/7. And by now, you know, I haven't been on in a week. The last time I was on was last Tuesday. By now, you have heard the news that Alec Bohm likely not going to be back with the Phillies in 2025. That news had come out basically a couple of hours after I had recorded last week. And the Phillies kind of have Bohm on the trade block. Have Bohm as a piece that they are looking to try and upgrade the team. They're trying to get rid of him, bring in some other sort of talent. So I'll go over in a little bit some other guys that could end up being the Phillies' third baseman come 2025. What could happen with the Phillies? You know, trading Alec Bohm. What's going to happen? Who are they going to get back? What's the plan going to be for the team moving forward? Why are they thinking of trading Alec Bohm? And obviously nothing happened as of yet, but the Phillies did come out, and I heard from, I believe it was AJ Pierzynski on a podcast, that a lot of people within the Phillies organization, and he said it wasn't Dave Dombrowski, it's not Rob Thompson, it's not Sam Fold, it's not anybody that's, you know, making these kinds of decisions, but just people throughout the Phillies organization, they don't like Bohm's attitude. They don't like Bohm's mopey, woe is me when things aren't going well. They don't like the slamming of the helmet when he's striking out or when he's not getting on base three or four times a game. Like, Alec Bohm does have a little bit of an attitude problem, and Alec Bohm is also 28 years old. Now, Alec Bohm is not some young 23, 24-year-old player who you are hoping can kind of grow out of that, a guy who you think will then mature and become a better player and become more mentally stable, I guess you could say, in the organization. You know, Alec Bohm isn't that. He is now 28 years old. We have coined the term the daycare for Bryson Stott, for Alec Bohm, Brandon Marsh. You know, I guess you could throw Johan Rojas in there. All of those young guys that the Phillies had, Alec Bohm is not—he's not a daycare guy anymore. He'll be 30 in 2 years. In 2026, Alec Bohm will be 30, which is the same age, by the way, that Alex Bregman is right now. He's a free agent. Will the Phillies go after him? We'll get into that. But he is somebody that, you know, he came up. I think he was 24 when he came up, Alec Bohm, and so already being a 28, even though it feels like he hasn't been a Philly for all of that long. Who knows if he's ever going to become, you know, mentally as tough as he is physically. So I know the Phillies are not happy with that. And if you remember, Alec Bohm after the season, right after that Mets loss, had said, you know, he knew where he would be next year. He knew where he would be back. maybe not the case. You know, I don't know for sure, but I would think that it probably didn't help his cause that after the season, and then, you know, they're saying to him, would you change your approach? You know, why did you not change anything? And, you know, going up there and swinging at the first pitch after being benched in the game, what was the deal? And basically saying, I'm not going to change the way I hit at the plate. I know what kind of hitter I am. And you know, people can easily kind of make the argument that when I'm not going well and I'm popping up on the first pitch, that's not a good idea. But when I hit a first pitch home run, nobody says anything. And he's right to a certain degree, but especially with what the Phillies were doing in the postseason last year and with the way that they were struggling to hit the ball and why they were chasing out of the zone, and teams knew that, not changing up your approach in any capacity, a little bit shocking, and a little bit, didn't leave a good taste in obviously the Phillies front office's mouths and the Phillies organization's mouth, but not the fans as well. And so, you know, does the fan perspective factor into Alec Bohm being on the trading block? Absolutely not. I don't think the Phillies give a crap about what any of the fans think, and nor should they. They're not going to go out and make any sort of decision based off of fan reaction. But, you know, Alec Bohm is a guy that we thought was going to be a cornerstone. You remember in 2020, he hit over 300. He had a really, really good rookie season. He was potential rookie of the year guy, we thought. Didn't end up winning it, but he hit 338 in 44 games as a rookie. His on-base percentage was 400. You know, the power has always been something that was struggling for Bohm. He had four home runs in 2020, only played in 44 games, but then he played in 115 in 2021 and only hit seven home runs. So the home run thing, the home run power, you know, Bohm is a gap-to-gap guy. He's a line drive kind of hitter, but he does have the ability to turn on a ball and hit it out of the yard. He does have the ability to go either right field, center field, left field, and be able to hit home runs. If you remember, his first ever home run against the Braves was to dead center. Like, Alec has power when he is able to lift the ball, but that just kind of never came about. His home run totals, he's hit 20 home runs. That's the most he ever hit in a season. That was in 2023. He hit 15 last year and 13 the year before. Has not missed a lot of time as a Philly. Has not been a guy that's been on the sideline, on the shelf for a long period of time. But just, the Phillies want to try and get better. The Phillies want to try and shake things up a little bit and get some new blood onto this team. I've said it a ton of times that they, you know, it's very infrequent, I'll say, that a team has the same kind of roster for three consecutive seasons, that a team has basically the same guys. They didn't make any sort of moves. You know, they bring in Trey Turner, but a couple of bullpen moves here or there, but, you know, not a whole lot of other movement within the organization. It's been big contract after big contract after big contract, a couple of young guys to stabilize the core of the infield or maybe play an outfield platoon here and there. But it's been big contract guys that have come into the Phillies and for the last 3 years have stayed there. You know, for the last 3 years, there hasn't been a lot of roster turnover. So I think that's what the Phillies are in the mood for doing right now. They're in the market for doing, whether that means bringing up a young guy in Aiden Miller, which highly unlikely. Dave Dombrowski even mentioned that was unlikely. And who knows, Aiden Miller could be somebody that's on the trading block too. Aiden Miller could be somebody that they're looking to move to get an immediate impact player right now. I'll get into whether or not I think that's a good idea. I've been on record before saying I'm a prospect hugger. I don't want to let go of a lot of these guys. But, you know, then at the trade deadline, after I saw what the Phillies did, and especially with the way the season ended with the Phillies, I kind of got off that opinion a little bit, off of that mindset, but I'll touch on Aiden Miller in a little bit because he is a guy that I think is a blue chip prospect that can be really good for you in a couple of years. But that's what the Phillies are looking to do. They're looking to try and get new blood in here, get new guys, different guys into this town, into this team, to try and shake things up a little bit, because it's two consecutive postseasons where you've gone out with the same way 2 years in a row, and really 3 years in a row if you go back to the World Series. And I touched on that last week, but, you know, if you were to bring in a guy who, instead of Alec Bohm, is able to not have as high of a chase rate, is able to be able to, and Alec Bohm puts the bat on the ball a lot, don't get me wrong, but, you know, sometimes it's weak contact, like we saw in the postseason. Not a guy that gets the ball up in the air a lot, a guy who hits the ball hard, you know, on the ground, doesn't have a lot of speed. So when he hits, you know, when a guy hits the ball on the ground, in a lot of cases that can be good, especially if you're hitting the ball hard on the ground, you're making the defense have to make a play, maybe you're able to squeak it through a hole, who knows. But in Alec Bohm's case, when you don't have a lot of speed and you're somebody that hits the ball on the ground a lot, you're getting out majority of the time. You're not beating out a ball if Francisco Lindor at shortstop boots it for a half second. He's still going to recover and throw you out at first base. You're going to hit into a lot of double plays. That's always been my number one thing with Alec Bohm that's made me afraid when he's come up with guys on base, is because he's not somebody who lifts the ball, and he's a guy that when he hits it on the ground, he's not going to be able to beat it out for a double, you know, get out of a double play. He runs like he's got cinder blocks on his feet. Let's call a spade a spade. Like, Bohm is not a speedster. Bohm is not a guy who is going to, you know, leg out infield singles. The Phillies, I think, want somebody who's going to be able to chase less. I'm not saying that guys like Alex Bregman necessarily have a ton more speed than Alec Bohm. I think Bregman is quicker than Bohm, but guys that are going to be able to hit more home runs, guys that are going to be able to drive in more runs, and Bohm has been an RBI machine the last couple of years, but then that also factors into, well, do you want a guy who's got a good demeanor, a guy who's been there, done that, has won multiple World Series, a guy who's been in the playoffs for basically his entire career, or the guy who seems to be a little bit of a head case and had to be benched in Game 2 of the NLDS this season? So that's where I think the Phillies are with Bohm. I would not be shocked if he's gone this offseason. I think it's honestly as a foregone conclusion that he's gone, and it'll be interesting to see how the Phillies react. Not the Phillies front office, but the Phillies players themselves, because as I mentioned, they have been basically sheltered the last couple of years of knowing that your guy, your best friend, you know, the Brandon Marsh, the Alec Bohm, those two guys that live together, your best friend was going to be on the team. Your best friend wasn't going to be the guy that gets traded. It wasn't going to be the guy that gets sent down to the AAA or AA, whatever. He's not going to be the guy that's not going to be with the organization. They had set and locked in that this was the core that they were going to roll with. They do add Trey Turner, but that's just because Gene Segura's career was basically over. This is the core that you've got. This is the guys that you're going to have to go out there and try and win with, and they couldn't do it for three consecutive years, and when you can't do it for 3 years, that requires change. But it'll be interesting to see if the players are aware of that and if the players are going to handle that okay. The vibes of this Phillies team, that's another thing that I want to get into, is, you know, the vibes of this Phillies team, and with another specific position on why I think they need to get rid of the vibe mantra that they've had for the last couple of years. That's gone. That's no longer a thing. You're bringing in new guys that might not think the same way as you, that might not have the same opinions as you, that might think differently about the way you're playing than you do. And you need to be okay with embracing that change, with knowing that your best friend isn't always going to be the guy that's playing alongside of you. It might be somebody new. It might be somebody that you don't know or you don't know much about, but he might be able to provide better for the team. And I'm not saying I don't think the Phillies will embrace that. I think they're all professionals, guys like Bryce Harper, guys like Kyle Schwarber and Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, whatever. They know that. They've been around the block. They've been there, done that. They understand that these guys want to win a championship no matter who's on the team with them. But I think a lot of them did want to win it with these guys that were on the team. But I think after doing it 3 years of no success, you're not going to have that anymore. Now, the guy who's been, I guess you could say linked to the Phillies. You know, people have talked about whether or not he would come to the Phillies and whether or not the Phillies are a team that would give him a big contract. And we'll get into what Scott Boras wants for this client, for this contract. It's absurd. And I know that baseball contracts are absurd, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But Alex Bregman is the guy that a lot of people have pointed to. He's a free agent this season. He's only 30 years old. He's only technically 2 years older than Alec Bohm, which I'm sure you've heard people say before. You know, it's shocking because Bregman's been in the league for 5 years before Bohm, but he's only 2 years older than him. He's an interesting fit, and Bregman has said he's willing to move to second base if need be. Not saying that to play with the Phillies, but just that he would be willing to move over to second base if a team wanted him to do that. You know, Bregman provides you better defense at third base than Alec Bohm does, and Alec Bohm has really improved his defense over the last couple of seasons, but Bregman is still a premier third baseman in the MLB. He's a guy who's going to chase less. He's a guy that's been there, done that. He's hit big home runs or had big hits in the postseason. He's won multiple world championships before, even if one of them is tainted. You know, of 2017, they did beat the Phillies fair and square in 2022. You know, he's done it. He has been there. And now look, he's 30 years old, and it's got to be, if you're Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies, do you want to invest in another guy that's, I don't want to say past his prime. He likely is a little bit past his prime. He will be 31 by the time the next season starts. The season starts, I believe, March 31st. Bregman's birthday is March 30th, so he'll be starting the season at 31 years old, even though he's a fresh 31 years old. You know, he will be a year older once the season rolls around. Do you want to throw big money at a guy like Alex Bregman? And I want to get into what Scott Boras had said. And look, Scott Boras has, you know, will say this as a bargaining chip, I guess, or just trying to put it out there that this might be exactly what they're looking for the contract for Alex Bregman, not necessarily what they're going to get, but what he would like. Ken Rosenthal said that he suspects Alex Bregman and Scott Boras are aiming higher, in quotation marks, than most projections, specifically looking at a deal closer to 11 years, $350 million, the deal that Manny Machado signed in February of 2023. Closer to that deal. So not necessarily that deal, but closer to that. And if you're a Phillies team, and if you're any baseball team, then look, I don't think Alex Bregman is getting 11 years, $350 million. It's not going to happen. He's a great player. He's not Manny Machado. He's not going to get that kind of money, especially not when he's 30 years old. Manny Machado hit free agency at the right time when he was 26, then he re-upped his deal a couple of years later. Like, I don't see that happening for Alex Bregman, but let's just play devil's advocate and say he is going to get a deal around 9 years and maybe $280 million somewhere in that vicinity instead of the $11,350. That's still a contract that you are taking on a lot of years at the end of that contract where you're thinking this guy might not be a producer for your team anymore. And they've done that with guys like Harper. They've done that with guys like even like Aaron Nola, who signed a 7-year deal in his 30s already. You know, you don't know if he's going to be as big of a producer at the end of his career as he is right now. Trey Turner's the same thing. And I think the Phillies, who knows, they could be spooked a little bit from that Trey Turner contract. They have not given out a contract that big since Trey Turner's deal because Trey Turner has not necessarily lived up to what you thought he was going to be, and he's still young into that deal. So I don't know. Are the Phillies spooked a little bit for going for a big kind of contract for a notable player, a guy who's been there, done that? They could be. I don't think he's getting $11,350. I don't even know if the Phillies would go as far as 9, 280, 290, anywhere in that vicinity. I don't know. Maybe 270. You know, I don't know if they would be willing to do it. I'll tell you, I would be. I would be willing to do that. I would be willing to make that kind of move. I just think Bregman provides you plate discipline. Bregman provides you a guy who has won multiple World Series, who has been there in the playoffs and has had big hits and has been the, I don't want to say the lifeblood of the team, but is, you know, when in 2017 when they won, he was the young guy. In 2022 when they won, he was one of the seasoned veteran guys. Remember, there was no more Carlos Correa in that World Series. You know, he was a guy that, you know, he did it in a multitude of different ways. And bringing that into the Phillies is something that I think they could benefit from. You know, Schwarber is the only guy on this roster that's won a World Series or at least been there and been a key part of winning a World Series. You know, Wheeler is an older guy who's been great for the Phillies, but he's never won a World Series. Bryce Harper is now, you know, in his early 30s and has been great for the Phillies. Obviously, we don't have to talk about that, but has never won a World Series. JT is reaching the end of his contract with the Phillies. He's an older guy now. He's going to play less this year. He's never won a World Series. Nick Castellanos never won a World Series. You know, the list goes on and on. Trey Turner has won a World Series, but Trey Turner, you know, he was also on Dodgers teams that got eliminated right away, right? He was also on Nationals teams that got eliminated right away, too. So whether or not, you know, the Phillies have enough of that, guys who have been there, done that, guys who have kind of know what it's like to have that feeling, guys know what it's like to perform in crunch time, I think Bregman would be the biggest guy that they would get who can do that. And he is coming off a down year last year. Bregman is coming off a year where he wasn't his best compared to what he's done in recent seasons. He had 260 with 26 home runs and 75 RBIs, 151 hits last year. You know, it's still a good season. It's a great season from a third baseman. I don't think it's going to net him the big contract that he wants. I think teams might be a little bit more conservative there after coming all, you know, he's going to be 31 years old and he had a little bit of a down year at age 30. That could all be for naught. He could come back and be the best third baseman in Major League Baseball again. Who knows? But I would target him, as I said. Will the Phillies do it? Remains to be seen. But he'd be a guy that I would be very eager to get if I was the Phillies. You don't have to give anything up for him. It's not like you're giving up prospects. I've said I'm a prospect hugger, right? I like to keep those guys. You don't have to give anything up for him. You can just go out and give him some money. It's not our money, right? Sean Middleton's money. We shouldn't care about how much money they're giving these guys. But no, you do have to worry a little bit down the road of what's going to happen with these guys when they are no longer in their prime and producing at a high level. But you'll kind of cross that bridge when you get to it. And it's not something that you can sit here now and worry about. You should be worried about this team trying to win a World Series in the next 2 or 3 years when these guys are still going to be producing at a high level. And I think Alex Bregman would be a key piece and a guy that would be able to help you do that for sure. All right, now real quick, because I do want to get to some of the awards that are happening this week throughout Major League Baseball. But, you know, I mentioned real quick earlier that I'm sick of the vibes of the Phillies, right? I'm done with the vibes guys and the this and the that. And we need this guy because he's a good locker room guy and he leads the parties for them. And I'm specifically looking at Garrett Stubbs, and I don't want, because I get it, Garrett Stubbs is not a player who's going to be your best catcher. He's not a guy who's going to be hitting clutch hit after clutch hit, and he's just the backup guy. I understand wholeheartedly. Believe me, I get it. And for the what was Garrett Stubbs here, 2 or 3 years? I believe Garrett Stubbs was here 3 years. For the 3 years that he was here, JT Realmuto was playing mostly every day. He would have a couple of off days here and there, but JT's a catcher who plays far more than not. He's not the guy that's going to play you 105 games a season like a lot of catchers do. JT plays somewhere in the 130s, 134 in 2021, 139 in 22, 135 in 2023. And then he played 99 this year in 2024. That was obviously because he was out with the surgery that he got on his knee for a long period of time. But this year, I think the Phillies are certainly going to be looking to give JT more time off. I think Dombrowski alluded to that. And Garrett Stubbs is not the guy that I want backing up my catcher anymore. Now, Garrett Stubbs is a free agent. Garrett Stubbs is not someone who is currently on the roster of this team. They will not bring him back. They will not bring him back to be the backup. I think it's time to let a guy like Rafael Marchand see if he can be the guy who backs up JT and plays more frequently. You know, Marchand, in very limited sample sizes in the big leagues, he only played in three games in 2020, 20 in 2021, and then 17 in 2024. Big gap there from 2021 to 2024. He ended up winning 17 games last year. He had 294, a 345 on base, a 549 slugging percentage. He did pop three home runs, a couple of extra base hits as well, four doubles. You know, is he the answer? Probably not. I don't think Marchand is the next guy in line to succeed Real Muto once he's done. But I think he's somebody that you can keep on the team and you can have be that backup and be a pretty good reliable second guy when your big time guy needs some time off. And JT is in the last year of his contract. He likely, and I would be shocked if JT gets any more money from the Phillies after his contract is over, not because JT hasn't performed, but just because of the age he is and the position that he plays. I think his time in Philadelphia is going to be up after this year. JT going into 2025, he's going to be 34 years old before the season starts. Like, He's over the hill in catcher years, right? Like, he's still a good player. He's still solid. He's not going to be as good as he was when they first got him, but, you know, he's a solid player. But after this season, I don't think JT Realmuto is going to be back. And you cross that bridge of, you know, who is going to be the Phillies' next catcher when you get to it. But I think Marchand could be the backup for him finally this year. I know a lot of people were clamoring for it last year, myself included, because can't stand watching Garrett Stubbs play. He is kind of the mascot for the vibes people and the guys who love the quote unquote locker room guys. He's the mascot for that. And a lot of it's not his fault. It's just his personality. And we've kind of taken it and run with it. And then a lot of people kind of got soured on it because of the way that the seasons have ended for the Phillies. Look, Garrett Stubbs is not somebody who's going to be a world beater when he goes on the field. But I think you have a guy in your system that can provide more than what Garrett Stubbs can provide you. And it's Rafael Marchand. So I don't think Garrett Stubbs will be back. I do not want him to be back. And I want Marchand to get that opportunity to try and be the backup to JT. So that's just my real quick rant on why the vibes guys are done and why the Phillies need to do some more and have a different new blood in the catcher position behind JT, and I think Marchand will be that guy come 2025. And real quick before I get out of here, it's the awards week for Major League Baseball. All the awards are coming out at the end of the season. I've had the Gold Gloves be released, the Silver Sluggers, which Bryce Harper did win. You know, first team All-MLB, second team All-MLB. Bryce Harper was second team, and he did win a Silver Slugger this year. Zach Wheeler was a first team All-MLB guy. He was the only Philly that was a first-team All-MLB guy, but he was on that list. And the other awards are coming out now. So the MVP is going to be announced on Thursday at 6 for both leagues. The AL MVP candidates for are Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, so two Yankees. That's pretty crazy. And then also Bobby Witt Jr. for the Royals. I have to imagine that's going to Aaron Judge. Bobby Witt had an insane season. If there's going to be a close second, I guess it would be Bobby Witt. I don't think Soto's going to win it. I think it's going to go to Judge, though, and I don't particularly think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be that close behind him. Even though Bobby Witt had a great year, and he had a higher batting average, and he had more hits and more runs scored, and in a lot of ways, he had a lot of better stats than Judge, but Judge hit all the home runs and has all the RBIs and leads in the, I guess you could say, important categories to the vote-getters out there, or the voters out there. So he's kind of the front-runner for the American League, as is Shohei Ohtani in the National League. I don't think there's any question. Look, Francisco Lindor and Ketel Marte are on the list. They both had great seasons. Lindor leading the Mets to the playoffs. Ketel Marte is just a phenomenal baseball player. If there's ever a time if the Phillies could go out and get a guy like that, he's not a free agent, the Diamondbacks are not going to want to part ways with him, and I'm not saying that would ever happen, but he is a guy that I would love for the Phillies to have on their team. He is a phenomenal player. He's also in the running for MVP. Not going to happen. It's going to be Shohei. Obviously, the insane season, 50 plus home runs, 50 plus stolen bases. Doesn't matter that he was a DH and didn't play any defense. He is going to be the National League MVP. Book that. I'm very certain of that one. Now, the Phillies are in it for National League Cy Young. Zach Wheeler, Chris Sale, and Paul Skeens are the finalists for the Cy Young Award. That's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday, at 6 p.m. when those awards are released. I don't think Zach Wheeler is going to win it. I would love it if he did. He had more innings pitched, I believe, than Chris Sale. But, you know, Chris Sale has the important stats. Chris Sale has the ERA. He's got the strikeouts. Stuff of that nature. And look, Zach Wheeler lost to a guy in 2021, Corbin Burns, who didn't have as many innings pitched as him. So I would love it if Zach Wheeler could win. I know that the Phillies submitted a resume for Zach Wheeler's case for Cy Young, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think that's going to go to Chris Sale, and I think rightfully so. He had a dominant season. The American Cy Young Awards are Seth Lugo, Emmanuel Clase, and Tarik Skubal. Now, this is interesting because Clase is the reliever. He's amazing. He had so many saves. He had a really low ERA, a lot of strikeouts. But then you have Tarik Skubal, who basically single-handedly carried the Tigers throughout the entire season. I mean, he was just insane for the Tigers this year. I have to imagine that the AL Cy Young Award, although it might be close between him and Class A, it's going to go to Tarik Skubal. Now, the Rookie of the Year awards, those were released yesterday, on Monday. Luis Gil won it for the Yankees. He had a 15-win year. 171 strikeouts and 151 and two-thirds innings over 29 starts. He wins the American League Rookie of the Year, and Paul Skeens won it in the National League. Obviously, Paul Skeens going 11-3 with a 196 ERA, 170 strikeouts, and winning NL Rookie of the Year honors less than a year after he was drafted first overall. Just an amazing season for Paul Skeens. And then the last one I want to touch on before I get out of here, the Manager of the Year awards, AJ Hinch, Matt Quatraro for the Royals, and Stephen Vogt for the Guardians. I wouldn't be... It's all AL Central teams there. I don't know who's going to win that one. It could be any of them. I think Stephen Vogt might win that just because of the record the Guardians had and how far they went. But AJ Hinch provides a really good case there because they made the playoffs when it seemed like they had no chance with that roster and where they were in August. And then in the National League, Carlos Mendoza, Pat Murphy, and Mike Schilt. This is a tough one. I could see this going to any of these guys. I think it's going to go to Pat Murphy because the Brewers were selling off guys in the beginning of the season. Didn't look like they were going to contend as much as they did and ended up obviously winning that division. Kind of shocked Rob Thompson's not on that after winning 95 games and an NL East title for the Phillies. Shocked he wasn't on the Manager of the Year candidate. But, you know, it is what it is. He's not on the list. What can you do? All right, that's going to do it for me. I'm going to wrap up here, guys. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Root on Zach Wheeler for the Cy Young tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen, but... hopefully we can get our guy Cy Young because he's been really good for us for a really long time and he is deserving of his Cy Young. That's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you guys next week on another edition of Phillies Today. Until then, have a great rest of your week.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.